وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب، آمين to all your beautiful duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank and accept your great services for the beautiful for his beautiful deen. Amin. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, there is a story about the professor and his student, and the professor professed to be an atheist and always would give his students a hard time. Today also we find that many of our children get into university and they get influenced, you know, by the professors at university. Sometimes they feel they aren't able to answer the questions that he puts forward, and then they turn towards atheism. And atheism is a way out from a commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you lead your life according to your own whims and fancies. So let's hear this story today about the professor and the student. So the professor, he said, let me explain the problem science has with God. The atheist professor of philosophy paused before his class, and then he asked one of his new students to stand. And he says, you're a believer in God, aren't you, son? So the student replied, he says, yes, sir. So you believe in God? Absolutely. So he asked now, is God good? Sure, God's good. Then he said, is God all-powerful? Can God do anything? He said, yes. So he said, are you good or evil? The teaching says that I'm evil. So the professor groans, grins knowingly, and he considers for a moment, here's one for you. Let's say there's a sick person over here and you can cure him. You can do it. Would you help him? Would you try? Yes, sir, I would. So you're good. I wouldn't say that. But why not say that you'd help a sick and maimed person if you could? Most of us would if we could, but God doesn't. So the student doesn't answer anything, and the professor continues. He says, my brother was a believer who died of cancer, even though he prayed to God to heal him. How is this God good? Can you answer that one? So the student remained silent. He said, no, you can't. Can you? The professor says. He takes a sip of water from a glass on his desk to give the student some time to relax. And he says, let's start again, young fellow. Is God good? Yes, the student says. He says, yes, God is good. Is Satan good? The student doesn't hesitate on this one and he says, no. Then where does Satan come from? So the student says, from God. That's right, God made Satan, didn't he? Tell me, son, is there evil in this world? He said, yes, sir, evil's everywhere, isn't it? And God did make everything correct. Yes, so who created evil? Again, the student has no answer. Is there sickness, immorality, hatred, ugliness, all these terrible things, do they exist in this world? So the student squirms on his feet. He says, yes, so who created him? He created them. So the student does not answer again. So the professor repeats his question. Who created them? There's still no answer. Suddenly, the lecturer breaks away to pace in front of the classroom. The class is mesmerized. "Tell me," he continues, "do you believe in God, son?" So the student's voice, you know, comes out firmly and he says, "Yes, professor, I do." So the old man stops pacing. He says, "Science says you have 5 senses you use to identify and observe the world around you. Have you seen God?" "No, sir, I haven't seen him." "Then tell us if we ever heard your God." "No, sir, I have not." "Have you ever felt your God, tasted your God, or smelt your God? Have you ever had any sensory perception of God?" "No, sir, I'm afraid I haven't." "Yet you still believe in him?" He said, "Yes. According to the rules of empirical, testable, demonstrable protocol, science says your God doesn't exist." "So what do you say to that, your son?" "Nothing," the student replies. "I only have my faith." "Yes, faith," the professor repeats. "And that is the problem science has with God. There is no evidence, only faith." So the student stands quietly for a moment before asking a question of his own. He says, "Professor, is there such a thing as heat?" "So yes," the professor replies, "there is heat." And he says, "Is there such a thing as cold?" "Yes, son, there's cold too." So he says, "No, sir, there isn't." So the professor turns to face the student, obviously interested. So the whole classroom becomes very quiet at that time. And the student begins to explain. He says, "You have lots of heat, even more heat, super heat, mega heat, white heat, a little heat, or no heat. But we don't have anything called cold. We can hit 365 degrees below zero, which is no heat. But we can't go any further after that. There is no such thing as cold. Otherwise, we would be able to go colder than minus 375 degrees centigrade. You see, sir, cold is only a word we use to describe the absence of heat. So we cannot measure cold. Heat we can measure in thermal units because heat is energy. Cold is not the opposite of heat, sir, just the absence of heat." And the student is quite right in that, because you will always find that when they give, statistics, weather and things like that, the weather bureau, then they would just say, you know, plus 1, plus 2, plus 3, or 16 degrees, 18 degrees, 20 degrees. Otherwise, it'll come to minus 1, minus 2, minus 3. So it's minus from something. So that's what they try and explain. So silence was prevalent across the entire room. So a pen dropped somewhere in the classroom sounds just like a hammer. Then the student asked, "What about darkness, professor? Is there such a thing as darkness?" "Yes," the professor replies without hesitation. "What is night if it isn't darkness?" So the student tells him, "You're wrong again, sir. Darkness is not something, it is the absence of something. You can have low light, normal light, bright light, flashing light, but if you have no light constantly, you have nothing, and it's called darkness, isn't it? That's the meaning we use to define the word. In reality, darkness is nothing. If it were, you would be able to make darkness darker, wouldn't you?" So the professor begins to smile at the student in front of him. He says, "This will be a good semester." "So what point are you making?" the professor asks young man. So "Yes, professor, my point is your philosophical premise is flawed to start with, and so your conclusion must also be flawed." So the professor's face couldn't hide his surprise this time. "Flawed? Can you explain how?" He said, "You are working on the premise of duality," the student explains. "You argue that there is life and there's death, a good God and a bad God. You are viewing the concept of God as something finite, something we can measure. Sir, science can't even explain a thought. It uses electricity and magnetism, but has never seen, much less fully understood, either one. To view death as the opposite of life is to be ignorant of the fact that death cannot exist as a substantive thing. Death is not the opposite of life. Death is just the absence of it. So when the ruh comes out of a person, when life comes out, then death manifests itself. Now tell me, professor, so death is the absence of life. Do you teach your students that they evolved from a monkey? If you are referring to the natural evolutionary process, young man, yes, of course I do. And this I remember, one of our mashayikh, you know, he was giving us a story, and he says that the husband and the wife, you know, an educated wife came in his marriage, and she says, you know what, she believes in evolution. So anyway, you know, the discussion was going on with his son, and the little son said, you know what, Dad, where do we come from? So Dad said, from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. Ya ayyuha an-nas ubudu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. O mankind, fear your guardian Lord who created you from a single being. And from him his wife, wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisa'a, and countless men and women then came forth from that union. So you see, the child tells his father, but mummy says that we came from monkeys and apes. So he tells his son, look here, I'm very, very happy to have my lineage to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Ammi Hawa, may Allah be pleased with her. But he says, if your mother wants to trace, you know, her ancestors to the monkeys and everything, and, you know, to prove that they are monkeys, there's nothing I can do about that. So that is the truth of it. So have you ever observed evolution with your own eyes, sir? So the professor, this is the student asks the professor. So the professor begins to shake his head, still smiling, as he realizes where the argument is going. He says, a very good semester indeed, since no one has observed the process of evolution at work, and it cannot even prove that this process is an ongoing endeavor. Are you not teaching your opinion, sir? Are you now not a scientist, but a preacher? To continue the point you were making earlier to the other students, let me give you an example of what I mean. So the student looks around the room. Is there anyone in the class who has ever seen the professor's brain? The class breaks out into laughter. Is there anyone here who has ever heard the professor's brain? Felt the professor's brain? Touched or smelled the professor's brain? No, so according to the established rules of empirical, stable, demonstrable protocol, these are the words that the professor used, science says that you have no brain, with all due respect, sir. So if science says you have no brain, how can we trust your lectures? Now the room was in absolute silence. Finally, what seems an eternity, the old man answers, I guess you'll have to take them on faith. And this is true. You know, Imam Razi, rahmatullah alayhi, it is mentioned that he was on his deathbed. And at that particular time, the shaitan comes to try and snatch away your iman. And the shaitan brought a proof regarding the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked him, what proof that you have regarding the existence of Allah? So he brings forward a proof. And then the shaitan breaks that proof. And he brings forward another proof. And the shaitan breaks that proof as well. Eventually, he's perspiring. I mean, it's the final stages of parting from this world. And everybody wants to leave this world. That is with iman. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. We must make the dua every day. So anyway, you know, Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi is giving a proof upon a proof, and the shaitan is breaking every proof. So at that time, the sheikh of Imam Razi, you know, tells him that just tell the shaitan that you believe with your heart that Allah is one. So once you believe and you have faith, then there's nobody that can prove to you anything alternate or different. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a noble Quran, in Surah Baqarah, you know, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they bring faith in the unseen. So you don't have to see, the unseen is not seen, it's unseen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So this is a quality of a person who brings faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he simply has to say, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, I have brought faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never ever falter from this faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and put our reliance absolutely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then inshallah al-aziz, we can be successful in this world and the year after. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.